Our first scripture reading is going to come from the book of Deuteronomy, and we'll be reading from the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 1 through 11, and it's found on page 174 of your Pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. When you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place which the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, I declare this day to the Lord your God that I have come into the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our afflictions, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. Our gospel reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 4 of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 13, and it is found on page 892 of your Pew Bibles. This time let us listen to God's word for us. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing in those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall be yours. And Jesus answered him, It is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will give His angels charge of you to guard you. And on your hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, It is said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. It's the word of the Lord. Many of us are here today because we have said yes to God. We have heard God's call on our lives, and we have responded by saying yes, yes to God, yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, yes to following His way in the world. But we are reminded, too, that to say yes to God is also to say no. It is to say no to the world, no to the forces and powers of death that are operative in the world, no to the ways of Satan. This morning I want to talk just a little bit about that, saying no to Satan, no to the devil. We don't talk much about the devil here. Someone once asked me why I never talked about the devil, and I had to reply that I wasn't ordained to talk about Satan, the devil. I was ordained to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what I try to talk about. In my opinion, the devil gets far too much publicity anyway. But today is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, that 40-day journey that we make with the Lord as he makes his way towards Jerusalem. And every first Sunday in Lent, the devil shows up to play his assigned role in the unfolding gospel drama. He makes his brief appearance here as the devil. But we are reminded that the main role in the drama of the Gospels belongs to God, the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, by the time we get to this point of the story, has already said yes to God. He has said that when he showed up at the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. It is also at his baptism that Jesus heard for himself who he is. He heard that he is the beloved Son of God. He heard that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed King of Israel. And that's important to keep in mind when reading this story. When we hear the phrase, word, the beloved Son of God, what usually comes to mind is the second person of the Trinity, the fact that Jesus was with God from the very beginning, the Word that was with God from the very beginning, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and all of that is something that we need to keep in the back of our minds as we read this story. But the text also wants us to hear something else. It wants us to hear in the phrase, Son of God, that Jesus is Israel's King. Jesus is Israel's Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the anointed King of Israel. And therefore, he is the anointed King of the whole world. The King of Israel was always the Son of God. He was the corporate representative of the people of Israel. All the people of Israel were sons and daughters of God. And so the king representing the people of Israel was the beloved Son of God. And so our text wants us to hear that. It wants us to hear that Jesus is Israel's King. But no sooner does Jesus hear that than we are told that the Holy Spirit leads Jesus out into the wilderness for a 40-day period of fasting and praying and listening. But only this time, he is listening not just for the voice of God, but he is also listening for the voice of the devil, the voice of testing and temptation. It is the same diabolical voice that tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden. But now Jesus goes to the wilderness to hear that same voice, because before he can begin his vocation as the Son of God, before he can begin his vocation of redemption and salvation for the whole world, he must first learn to do what Adam and Eve could not. He must first learn to say no to the devil, no to Satan. He must show his willingness to be completely obedient to the will of God. The voice of Satan, of course, is the voice of death. It is the voice of lies. It is the voice that always seeks to draw us away from God's way of doing things. But we need to give the devil his due. He is a smooth operator. Satan doesn't have any problem in the wilderness coming to Jesus with his temptations. He has no problem with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. That doesn't bother Satan at all. He doesn't have any problem with the fact that Jesus has been baptized. That doesn't bother Satan at all. He doesn't have any problem with Jesus' desire to save the world. In fact, from the perspective of the devil, all of that is wonderful. The greatest and most effective temptations are always those that come wrapped in a veneer of goodness and godliness. So Satan doesn't have any problems with that at all. What Satan wants is to have Jesus to do things Satan's way. That's what he wants. Just be the Son of God, Jesus, my way. Just do things my way. Since you are the Son of God, since you are God's Son, since you are the King of Israel, since you are the Messiah and the Anointed One, do things my way. Grab the reins of power. Use your God-given talents to do things my way. Feed yourself. That's the first temptation that Satan tempts Jesus with. Feed yourself. Command these stones to be turned into bread. That's what people want to see in a leader. That's what people want to see in a king. They want to know that you can create favorable economic conditions for people to eat. No one is going to follow a hungry Messiah, so feed yourself, Jesus. Feed yourself as a sign that you can do what a king is supposed to do. Feed himself and feed his people. But Jesus responds, man does not live by bread alone. It's not just about bread. It's not just about meeting people's needs. But as the Messiah, Jesus comes to do something else. But Satan doesn't give up. He doesn't give up there. Look, Jesus, he says, I know that you have come to save the whole world. And I can help you with that. All the world's kingdoms and all the world's principalities, it all belongs to me. And I can give it to anyone I want. Think of all the good you can do. You can end the war in Syria. You could bring peace to the Middle East. You can compel international cooperation to get rid of disease and sickness and poverty. You can do all of these things, Jesus. You can do all of it. All you have to do is worship me. Do things my way. But again, Jesus responds, it is written, worship only the Lord your God and serve only him. But the devil is not rebuffed. He doesn't give up. He has one more temptation. Look, Jesus, I know that you are eventually heading towards Jerusalem, the big city of Jerusalem, the city of David. When you get there, go to the highest point of the temple where everyone can see you and then jump off. You and I both know that God will protect you, and it will give the people what they want, spectacle and entertainment. The bigger the spectacle, the more they will follow you. You know that's what people want. Give them some entertainment. Give them a spectacle. And with God on your side to protect you, think of all the death-defying stunts you can perform that will tune people into you and compel them to follow you. But Jesus responds again with scripture, do not put the Lord God to the test. Three temptations that the devil uses to try to get Jesus to do things his way. And three times Jesus says no. No to the devil. No to the forces and powers of death. No to the ways of the world. Jesus, of course, can say no to the devil because Jesus knows who he is. He knows that he is the Son of God. He is the one who will always do things God's way. God's way of trust. God's way of humility. God's way of sacrifice. God's way of self-giving love. God's way of the cross. Jesus will continue to say yes to God in everything that he does. He will not be the kind of king that the world is used to. He will not be the kind of king that Satan is able to dominate and control. He will not be the kind of leader who seeks after power. He will not be the kind of leader who tries to lead people by appealing to some sense of spectacle or entertainment. He will not be the kind of leader who appeals to people simply by catering to their needs. But he will be the Messiah in the way that God has called him to be the Messiah. He will be the Messiah by obediently following where God has called him to go, which is all the way to the cross. And that is where the devil is trying to corrupt Jesus. He doesn't want the way of self-giving love to be made manifest in the world. This, of course, is Jesus's temptation. This is what Jesus goes to the wilderness to hear. He goes there to say no to the devil and no to Satan. But you and I are also sons and daughters of God. We are adopted sons and daughters of God. We heard that at our baptisms as well, that we are sons and daughters of God. And Satan attempts to tempt us as well. Sometimes the temptations are not the same kind of temptations that he tempts Jesus with. Sometimes the temptations that the devil tests us with are the same kinds of temptations that he tested Adam and Eve with. God, Satan tells us, surely didn't say that you will die. That's the way he tempted Adam and Eve. And he comes to us too, telling us what God might or might not have said. Remember, Satan is the father of lies, and that's how he tempts us. God didn't say that. God didn't really say that you could only have one God. God didn't really say that you shouldn't worship money. God didn't say that, did he? Of course it's okay to serve God and serve mammon at the same time. There's nothing wrong with that. God didn't say that you are called to love your enemies. That wasn't God, was it? It's perfectly okay to hate your enemies and to hate other people who do you ill and do you harm. God didn't say that. God doesn't care if you play around every now and then, if you have relationships on the side that are other than your husband or wife. God doesn't care anything about that. It's the 21st century. We're liberated. Get with the times. God doesn't care anything about that. Those are some of the temptations that the devil speaks into our ears, and some of the temptations that we listen to. But perhaps the biggest temptation is the fact that Satan tries to throw us off the way of Christ, the way of God, the way of self-giving love, the way of the cross. We can't be children of God any kind of way. We can't be sons and daughters of God in any old kind of way. There's a way that we are called to follow God. There's a way that we are called to follow Jesus. The way is sometimes a little difficult for us to see because it's the way of the cross. And there's something about us that doesn't necessarily want to follow that way. We don't want to become vulnerable. We don't want to open up our hearts to others. We don't want to follow in the way of sacrifice and humility. But we are called to follow Jesus on the way to the cross. This is a political season, and please understand this morning I'm not being political, but wanting to simply alert you to some dangers. Because during this season, and even out of this season, it is typical for us to try to use our religious faith in justifying another way. Sometimes we use our religious faith to justify our love of money. Sometimes we use our religious faith to justify our love of power and violence. Sometimes we believe that we can further the cause of Christ in the world and God in the world, if we just have enough power, if we are just able to get the right person in power, the person that we believe can for us further what we think are good, decent values, whether they are values of assisting the needy or whether they are other kinds of values, if we could just get enough power and get the person that we believe will help promote the ways of God, then we'll be okay. And so we have leaders who oftentimes take the temptation that the devil has to offer. Just do it my way. Just seek after power. Just do it my way. If you just do things my way, everything will be okay. And so we take our Christian faith and we keep the symbols and the iconography and we gut it out of any substance. We gut out of it its love and its humility and its vulnerability and its sacrifice. And we believe that we are still being faithful to God. The devil said that he would leave Jesus until an opportune time. And there were times when the devil would come back and tempt Jesus. He would come back in the crowds who only followed Jesus when Jesus could give them something, when Jesus could provide bread for them, or when he could provide healing with them. He would come back in Jesus' disciples who didn't want to hear that the way of Christ was the way of suffering. No, Peter says at Caesarea Philippi, not you, Lord, not suffering and death. But Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. For whoever will follow me must deny themselves and pick up their cross. The Satan would come back and tempt Jesus while he was hanging on the cross. If you are the Son of God, said the crowd, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross, save yourself, if you are the Son of God. Because a cross is not where a Son of God, it's not where a king is supposed to be. If you are the Son of God, save yourself. But Jesus is the one who does everything the way that God has called him to be obedient. He does everything God's way. And the way of God is the way of the cross, because it's the way that shows us the heart of God, the heart of God's love, the heart of God's compassion for all of us, the heart of God's willingness to sacrifice for all of us. And we are called to follow that way as well. We are called to follow the way of self-giving love. This is the season of Lent. And during this Lenten season, we are asked to discern the voices that are speaking to us. We are asked to discern the voice of God, but we're also asked to discern and to hear clearly those other voices, the voices of Satan, that try to get us to say no to God and to say yes to the ways of the devil. And so during this season, we are asked to listen carefully, to listen closely, to be able to hone our ears and our hearts so that we can discern who is speaking to us. Is the way of God the way of violence in the world? Is the way of God the way of seeking after power? Is the way of God trying to get our particular political representatives elected? Or is the way of God opening up ourselves to our neighbor in vulnerability and in self-giving love? We are asked during this season to engage in those spiritual disciplines that will help us to discern who it is that is speaking to us. We are asked to fast. We are asked to pray. And we are asked to read Scripture, to study Scripture, to know Scripture. Jesus is able to rebuff the devil by words of Scripture. Again and again, it is because Jesus knows the Bible that he's able to rebuff the temptations of Satan. But most importantly, during this season, we are asked to come together and to realize who we are as sons and daughters of God. We're asked to be people who live in community. We're asked to be people who, together, in our lives together, in the way we live our lives together and share our lives together and open ourselves up to one another. We are asked to practice those disciplines that will help us to say no to the devil and yes to God. That is what this season of Lent is about. It is about following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the cross. And we best do that in the company of one another. We best do that with each other, loving one another and going forth into this darkened world with one another, bearing witness to who God has called us to be in the way that we love one another and love the world as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ loved the world, enough to give ourselves for it. And so during this season, as we make our way, as we journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us learn to say yes to God, and let us learn to say no to the devil. Do not be tempted. Do not be tempted by the devil's smooth promises. Do not be tempted by the devil's talk of gaining power. Do not be tempted of trying to further the cause of God and the cause of Christ in the world by just getting enough power. We only had enough power. We say that sometimes in the church. If we only had enough power, if we only had enough money, if we only had enough resources, if we only had enough, if we only had enough of the kinds of things that the devil would have us to believe we need in order to be faithful children of God. But God has given us all that we need. God has given us the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God has given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ to guide us and to direct us and to open our hearts in love, self-giving love for one another. Let us follow the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that is upon us, as we seek to be the faithful people of God in the world, loving one another and proclaiming with our very lives that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the one who gave himself for all of us and for the sake of the world. He is the one who has shown us the heart of God, which is the heart of love. May we take that deep down inside of our own hearts as we continue the journey during this Lenten season. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us to be loving people, and you have reminded us that that is who you are. At your very core, you are love. But how often we confuse that. We think that what it often means to be godlike is to have power, is to be able to rule and dominate over the hearts of others, is to be able to rule and to lead in the way that the world tells us you have to rule and lead in order to be effective. We often believe that if we could just get some power, then we could be like you. But you have reminded us that to be people who are shaped by your Spirit is not to have power the way the world has it, but it is to have the power of love lodged deep down inside of our hearts, and to be willing to give our lives for the sake of your coming kingdom. In the midst of a darkened world, we ask that you help us. Help us as we journey towards the cross. Give us the courage to be obedient to you. and the courage to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And help us to be the beloved sons and daughters that you have called us to be. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.